Revelation chapter 20 tonight, Revelation chapter 20. We are living in very interesting times. I've been in ministry now for almost 25 years, and I have found that each year there seems to be more error that's crept into the church, and more accepted error has crept into the church, and people seem to embrace it. The spirit of discernment seems to be missing today in the church. An understanding, having such an understanding of the Word of God to be able to discern this isn't right, what's taking place. And we are living in the time in which the very key doctrines of the Word of God are being attacked. And tonight I want us to look at the doctrine of hell, and I want to expose to you tonight a movement that is taking place today. A book was released on March the 3rd of this year called Love Wins. Love Wins by Rob Bell, who was the pastor of Mars Hill Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He resigned his pastorate because he wanted to have a more international ministry. But he has been a leader for the last 4 years now in what is known as the Emergent Church Movement. And his church has been challenging just about every major tenet of salvation, of the gospel, what love is, redefining terms from the Bible. As a matter of fact, he has determined that the Bible's definition of forever does not really mean forever. Every time it says for everlasting unto everlasting or forever, that doesn't mean that. That in his understanding of the languages, that it doesn't mean forever, it means just for a period of time. So, on March the 3rd of this year, he released his book on Love Wins, and he denied in that book the existence of an eternal hell, eternal damnation. That in the end, love would win, and that hell is only a temporary thing, and that there is no lake of fire, as taught in Revelation chapter 20, but rather that that is a figment, that is an imaginative aspect, that God, in reality, what He's doing, He's going to purge all mankind, and that love will win in the end, and all mankind will go to heaven. That's simply put what his doctrine is about. I want to read to you Revelation 20, 11 through 15, and I want you just to let the Word of God speak to your heart. There is no substitute for the clear statements of the Word of God. Verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You, Father, for the clearness of Your Word. And though men seek to change and alter and diminish and take away what the clear Scriptures teach concerning the doctrine of hell, we find, dear Father, that Your Word is so clear that it cannot be challenged. We pray, dear Father, that You would undertake tonight to show us from Your Word that we ought to follow and obey it rather than what we are hearing today come from churches all across America. Help us to stand for what's right, stand for truth. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, earlier this year, Harper One Press released this book, Love Wins, which caused quite a stir. They've sold over 100,000 copies of this book, which has been snatched up and embraced. There's been a number of books that have been written to respond to the statements that have been made by this particular man, Rob Bell. I wouldn't call him a preacher because he doesn't preach anything that has any good news to it, because he rejects the Bible. He rejects the truths of the Bible. As a matter of fact, To the critics that have responded to this particular book, What Does Love Win Say About Heaven and Hell? This is what we find on their website tonight. Those who reject the invitation of eternal life experience a purifying fire of judgment in hell, yet there is hope. We live in the hope that the redemptive work of Christ is beyond what we can ask or imagine. Love wins help us have a biblical imagination. Now get that. Love wins helps us have a biblical imagination that leaves room for the hope of the redemption of all. In other words, this passage that I just read you in Revelation chapter 20 is wrong. That there will not be a final great white throne judgment. There will not be a casting into the lake of fire, because we're told in verse 14, in this passage, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the Bible is wrong there. That hell will cough up its victims, and that love will win in the end, and that all of them, after being purified in hell, will be taken into heaven's presence, and all mankind that have lived upon the earth will somehow make it into heaven, because God's love is so great and wonderful. Now, this concept is culture. It's culture put into religion. There has been for many, many years, and this goes back thousands of years, a rejection of the concept of hell. The Catholic Church has its own version. The Catholic Church has the idea of purgatory. By the way, he willingly admits that he's borrowed some of his imaginative interpretations of Scripture. That's what he calls it. His imaginative interpretations of Scripture from the Catholic Church. That the Catholic Church got it right. That the popes have all declared this to be so, that there is not a literal hell in the sense that everybody goes there that has rejected Jesus Christ, but everybody goes to purgatory, and then there's a purative process by which they would be released from purgatory, and they would be ushered into heaven. Only the horrible, terrible people of history, okay, those are the ones that go to hell. The Hitlers, the Stalins, the Mao Zedongs, the Pol Pots, all of those people, those horrible, terrible people that killed thousands of people, they obviously, they're going to go to that place. But everybody else will go through that purative process, and then they will be released and allowed to go into heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. And Lord willing, we'll take time to show that. Now, this is how Time Magazine responded to this book. John Meacham, who is a regular writer for Time Magazine, said this in the Easter edition of its cover story, "What if there is no hell?" That was the statement. What if there is no hell? With a question mark. John Meacham wrote, "Is Bell's Christianity less judgmental, more fluid, open to questioning the most ancient of assumptions, an inexorable rise in the end? I have long wondered if there is a massive shift coming in what it means to be a Christian." All right, now this is the writer in Time Magazine. "I've wondered for some time. I've watched from the sidelines, and I've seen this quantum shift where they're questioning the doctrines that have been held for generations. They're questioning those things, and they're coming back and they're saying the Bible really doesn't mean what it says." And it's always in areas where it confronts culture at its heart. All right? This is the question. How can a loving God send people to hell? That's the question. That's what Rob Bell asked in his book. How can a loving God send people to hell? That would mean that His love was failure. Now stop right there. That's how he answered. That means God's love would be a failure. Is God's love a failure? No, it's not. You see, what else is he rejecting? He's rejecting the veracity and the efficacy of the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's rejecting the truth that the gospel is good news from which a sinner must turn to God. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, repent and believe this gospel. He says, that's wrong. It assumes that man is a sinner, and I'm not willing to assume that. Rejection. His error snowballs from one interpretation to another, his imaginative interpretation of the Word of God. It snowballs in rejection of one after the other of the premises of the Bible. The premise of Christ's coming. If man is not really a sinner, then why did God send His Son? But he doesn't answer that question. He slips by that. And he talks of God's love and this greater concept which rejects the cross and atonement and man is a sinner and man has a wicked nature to the fact that there are only some who will go to hell and go through a purative process. Now let me just summarize the book that he wrote, Love Wins, in a very quick overview, okay? Bell defines hell as both here and now. All right? He believes that hell, for the most part, is right here and right now. And also a future process for those who die before they have yielded to God's love. Hell isn't forever, since, by Bell's own definition, the Greek word translated forever does not mean that. He says that on page 31 of his book. Forever in the Bible does not mean forever. Now, on what basis does he do that? I don't know. He sets himself up now as an authority on the Greek language. And so all of the Greek scholars and those people who have known and studied Koine Greek for the past 1,000 years, they're all wrong. They're all wrong. That word, translated forever, does not mean forever. So who's established now as the authority of what words mean? Rob Bell. So you have to accept that premise, folks. You have to accept, all right, he's redefining forever. Therefore, if he has latitude to redefine forever, what else can he redefine? Anything he wants to from the Word of God. That, in a nutshell, folks, is the emergent church movement. Challenge the authority of the Word of God. At every turn, challenge the authority. What do? They say, we don't like authoritative preachers. So in our church services, we don't have authoritative preachers. Yet, Rob Bell, who says we ought not to have authoritative preachers, says that the word forever doesn't mean forever. That's an authoritative statement. He violates his own command. How silly can it be? It is Bell's belief that God will get what He wants. Every sinner, Bell imagines, have endless chances to turn to God, will realize that Christ's death for all means that He has already reconciled everybody on the earth to God, which is true, except for what? They have to repent and believe the good news. He's made the way of reconciliation. What's the message? Be ye reconciled to God. But he sees it as, oh, wait a minute, he's already reconciled you to Him. By the way, that's a Calvinistic interpretation of that. He's already reconciled everybody to Him. All you have to do is pray a prayer. All right? You don't have to realize you're a sinner because He's already taken care of that. That's false. God, through Christ, is reconciled to this world. But He says to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what does he say there? Be ye reconciled unto Him. How am I reconciled unto Him? I repent and believe the gospel. Okay? That's how it's done. So what is he doing? He's redefining reconciliation, what that means. Now, he goes on. He just needs to believe God's story. In the end, God's love will eventually melt even the hardest hearts, even those in hell. Those that are in the purative thing. They'll finally break down and they'll say, okay, I submit. And then God will cough up hell. It will not go into the lake of fire. There will not be a reading of the Lamb's Book of Life because everybody's name is written there. So this statement here that the names are read, verse 12, "And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those books which were written in the books according to their works." But that won't happen. That won't happen. Now, I could go on and on with the foolishness that goes on. This is what else Bell has to write here. "Has God created millions of people who are going to spend eternity in anguish? Can God do this or even allow this and still claim to be a loving God?" He's questioning the veracity of the truth of God. Could a loving God consign the abused and persecuted to live forever in the same place with their unrepentant abusers and persecutors? That's my question. If you're going to say that, then that's exactly what you're saying. All those that are murderers and rejected Jesus Christ, you're going to say that we're all going to live together forever in heaven because they'll realize, you know what, I was a really bad person. I shouldn't have shot this person over here beside me. That was a really bad thing to do, buddy. I'm so sorry that I did that. All right, God, I realize I was a bad person. Okay, I'm ready to go to heaven. Who becomes the person that dictates the future? The people in hell, in the purative process. They decide their own conclusion. They say, you know what? God is love. Isn't it interesting when we read that passage in Luke about the man that lifted up his eyes being in torments? Did he ever once say, I want to get out of here? No. He said, I want you to bring and dip your finger and put a drop on my tongue. And then I would like for you, please, to go tell my brothers and sisters and all those folks, I want you to tell them so they won't have to come here. Okay? But he never turned and said, I want to be forgiven of my sin. Nowhere in that passage do you find that, because it's not in the heart of man to do that. He's wicked and corrupt, and those in hell and those that are dumped into the lake of fire will forever curse God because that's what's in their heart. That's what's in their heart. Now, I want us to just walk through tonight, what does the Bible teach? Hell may not be a politically correct topic these days, but many people enter hell every day. It is estimated that there are 120,000 people that die every day in this world. Most, I am afraid, end up in hell. Hell is a real place despite the fact that people laugh and say that they want to go there. They simply don't understand how horrible and how terrible hell really is. Just because you've never seen hell doesn't mean that it does not exist. You hear people say this all the time. Well, you can't say that you understand me unless you walked a mile in my shoes. Jesus Christ can say that. Do I hear an amen? Jesus Christ can say that. He bore hell on the cross. Do you understand what He bore? He not only bore your sins, but He bore the consequences of your sin. What are the wages of sin? Death. Eternal destruction in hell. He bore the extent of your hell on the cross of Calvary. He not only bore what you did, but He bore the consequences of what you did. Doesn't that change your thinking a little bit about how great the news is about the gospel? You know, it's one thing for a person to be caught doing something wrong. We've all been caught. I don't think I got away with much at all whenever I was growing up. It seemed like that there was always somebody there to catch me. And that was God's work. That was God just taking care of me. Whenever I would do something, I would get caught. And you know, you say, okay, I won't ever do that again. Okay? Well, that just rolls off the tongue so easily, doesn't it? When you're only up to somebody's kneecap and you look up, you know, and they're bigger than you are, and you say, I'll never do that again. You know, and you look down in those eyes, and they're thinking, you know what, I am so sweet looking. You know, You know, when I have those tears flowing out and I'm crying out and everything, they look at me and they're just going to melt into my hands. And that's the way people are today. They think that God is a big grandfather sitting up in his rocking chair, and if we really put on a poochy lip, and if we really cry a little bit and tears come down our eyes, God's just going to let me into heaven. That's the emergent church movement. That's what they're teaching. Love wins. If it doesn't win, then it's not love. But I'm here to tell you that love wins only in your life when you repent and believe the gospel. Okay? Anything else is you putting up your umbrella and shielding yourself from the love of God that's pouring down upon you. God has poured out His love. It's like a rain shower of His love. And if you put up your umbrella and you say, I'm not going to accept it, then that's your fault. That's not God's. As we said this morning, no man, no woman, no person that goes to a devil's hell will ever be able to point their finger back at God and say, you didn't love me. But Rob Bell says, it is possible to do that. It is possible to do that. So we reject Revelation 20 and what it has to say. Now, how many times have you heard someone say, a loving God wouldn't put His creatures in hell? Well, I have news for you. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? And get that. Not that all should come to heaven, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Rob Bell would have you to believe it's all should come to heaven, but that's not what the Bible says. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. What's the first thing? Come to repentance. There is no heaven if you don't come to repentance. What should we be teaching and preaching these days? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the call of the preacher today. It's all about relationships, and we got to have wonderful relationships. Let me tell you something. Unless you repent, you cannot have a right relationship with God, and therefore you'll never have a right relationship with your fellow man. All you'll have is a propped up relationship. You're going to have a phony relationship. You know that's what most people have? Phony relationships. They walk around with a pasted smile. They'll come into work and say, I really want to impress my boss today because he's talking about maybe some raises down there, so I'm just going to butter him up. And so they just put it on thick. They trowel it on thick, you know. And this boss looks and says, you know, that's a pretty good employee. That employee, so sweet and so nice and always doing things for me. I think I'll give him a raise. All right? And that's how it's done. You know what that is? That's phony. That's phony. And yet that's what passes today for reality. Do you understand, by the way, that reality TV is not reality? It's an oxymoron. Reality TV. It's not real. And yet we call it real. So if we call it real, it must be real, right? No, wrong. Now, let's go on. Know ye not that hell was not created for man? Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But I want you to know that all those who reject Jesus Christ go to the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, his followers. Men go to hell because they choose the devil's way and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. God is holy and will not allow any sin in His kingdom. This is love, folks. This is love. God cannot let any sin into His presence. If God allowed sin into His presence, heaven would become hell. It wouldn't be heaven. It would cease to be heaven. If sin were allowed to come into heaven, then heaven would no longer be heaven. It would be a place of torment because then sin would be present. And so God in love created a place for the devil and his angels and all those who refuse to accept God's gift of love, Jesus Christ. Now, as a result, when people die in their sins, they are forever banished from the presence of God to a fiery place called hell, a place of shame, contempt, torment. Incidentally, Satan won't be ruling in the lake of fire. He'll be condemned and tormented just like everybody else. It's not going to be a place where he's in authority ruling. He's going to be in torments just like all those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 20 and verse 10. Look at that, please. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be, notice that please, tormented day and night. And then the words that Rob Bell said do not mean forever and ever. Forever and ever. That's what the Bible says about the devil. These concepts of hell being the place where he's got his little pitchfork and he's sitting on his throne and little flames shoot up around it, that is not biblical. That's not biblical. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, think about this. God, out of profound love for you and for me, vile sinners who have transgressed against His commandments, let His own dear Son be sacrificed for your sins. Jesus Christ was not a sinner. He did not sin at any time in His life. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He did not die for Himself on Calvary's tree. He died for you and for me. And that's the good news. If you reject His sacrifice and trod it underfoot, it should not be too hard for you to understand that the same God who sacrificed His beloved Son will expeditiously cast your rebellious self into a lake of fire. Is that hard to understand? Because there's no other place for you. There's no place for you in heaven. And so what must He do? He must send you where your heart is. Okay? Home is where the heart is. You heard that expression? You know where the sinner's heart is? Where his home really is at? You know, the sinner's just passing through too. We sing that song, "The world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." That's true for sinners too. You know where their home is? It's in hell. Home is where the heart is. And their heart desires hell. A sinner would be out of place in heaven. Nothing unclean will ever enter heaven's gate, and all unregenerate people are unclean. Now, Isaiah 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God does not want you to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. But don't forget the next part. But that all should come to repentance. Now, Jesus came to save you from your sin and from the consequences that come. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." That's pretty clear. "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Then the last part of this verse, "Turn ye." What's another definition of that? Repent. That means to turn. "Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" There you go. You want to know how he loves the sinner? You want to know how he loves the sinner? He cries out this very evening to you, to everyone that's here tonight, to those who listen by way of the internet broadcast. He cries out to you and says, "Turn ye, why will ye die?" The Bible teaches that God loves you so much that the Creator of this universe came to taste death for every man. Jesus wasn't just some baby for a manger scene. He is God come in the flesh to destroy the power of death and hell. He holds the keys, the Bible says. Regardless of whether you believe it or not, hell exists. And the Bible says that it is never full. I've heard folks say that hell is not mentioned in the Bible or that hell is just the grave. Let's take a look at some passages of Scripture tonight, and I just want you to listen. I'm going to take you through and walk you through the Bible and want you to hear what the Bible has to say. Matthew 25:41, just Jesus speaking to people of final judgment. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." We read that verse just a few moments ago. Everlasting fire. That's what God says. Revelation 14:11, "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." Does that sound like a purifying fire to you? Just purifying for a while, make you better, and then let you go on to heaven? Not at all. Revelation 20:12-15, you can look in your open Bibles to those verses. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those books which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So that tells us that hell was cast in the lake of fire, and all those that who were part of hell were cast with it into the lake of fire. You have to argue with the clear statements of Scripture. Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in," where? Hell. In hell. That's what the Bible says. Luke 12:5. "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Matthew 18:8-9. "Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them far from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast," now get this, "into hell fire." The Bible doesn't say anything about hell. If hell is just the grave, why does it always keep saying hell fire, everlasting fire? I've given you 5 quotes from the Word of God. Let's go on. Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." 2 Thessalonians 1:9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Isaiah 66:24, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worms shall die not, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be abhorring unto all flesh." Mark 9:44, speaking of hell, "Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Over and over and over again. You know what Rob Bell is saying? You have to reject every one of these Bible verses and come to his way of thinking. And he has a willing crowd. Jude 7, "Sodom and Gomorrah are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Matthew 22:13, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 13:41-42, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of all of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Let me go on here. Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Psalm 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forgot God." Isaiah 14, 11 and 15, referring to Lucifer. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? You know who that is? Those are the inhabitants of hell. Whenever hell and Satan are cast into the lake of fire, they're going to look at, are you as weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Isaiah 14, Daniel 12 and verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame. And then we have this statement, and everlasting contempt. Does that sound like to you that there is going to be a get out of hell free card given to those that are purified? No, it says everlasting contempt. So Rob Bell says everlasting and forever and ever do not mean that. He has to reject all those verses of Scripture that I shared with you tonight. In other words, he rejects the authority of the Word of God. Now, folks, we've got to be on our toes in these days. This book has sold over 100,000 copies. It's due out, I think it's next week, in softback. The hardback copy came out in March. Seven months after, they always release the softback. It's going to be updated. And he's not apologizing for anything that he has said. Folks, we have to understand that hell and the lake of fire are real. It is everlasting fire, and it will last for all eternity for the devil and his angels and for all those who will not repent and believe the gospel. In this day and age, it's popular to reject the authority of the Bible. And I'm afraid that the longer we live, I'm reading about this more and more, of former fundamental pastors, those that used to preach this, used to preach about hell, that aren't preaching about it anymore. Because they've been told by Rob Bell and some of the leading preachers today that you don't preach on hell because hell isn't really real. Hell isn't real. Even Billy Graham, in his declining years now, I don't know if you read about this, is not sure about whether hell is for everlasting. He's not sure if that all sinners go, that he has some questions about that. I just read to you a dozen passages of Scripture. How does a person reject that? They say God's Word is not true. Thus saith the Lord does not really mean that this is truth. We have imaginative minds, and we can use our imagination to reinterpret the Word of God to mean something else. I'm reminded of Genesis 6, where the imagination of the people of that day and time was only evil continued. They allowed their imaginations to dictate their life. And what did they imagine? God is wrong, and we are right. And we are fast approaching the time, as the Bible tells us, in the last days, it will be as the days of Noah, where the thoughts and imaginations of the heart are only evil continually. Why are they evil? Because they reject this book. Watch out, folks, for what you go down and buy at the local bookstore. Be careful what you buy. They may have elements of truth, but you've got to have your discernment cap on all the time. And you better know this book. You better spend time in this book. You better teach this book to your children, because if they're not grounded in this book, they will swallow Rob Bell and the emergent church movement. Because there are graduates from Christian colleges right now that are swallowing hoof and hair of everything that's being said by the emergent church. They're leaving behind all the teaching that they received, and they're embracing it because they say, oh, this is what I've been searching for. I've been searching for this all my life. Oh, how I love. They've fallen in love with love. but they don't know what love is. Because it's not the love of the Bible. It's a love of religion, which rejects the love of the Bible. Just like we've learned from Hosea, love was tough. God had to cut off His people Israel in order to draw her back. And Hosea had to cut off bringing food and clothing to his wife in order to draw her back. Love acts with a tough hand. And God's not going to let anything that's corrupt into His presence in heaven. And I think every one of us understand and know that that's what makes heaven so wonderful. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and have repented of their sins and believe the gospel. That's what heaven's for. And you know what we're going to do in heaven? There's going to be a lot of people. Well, I don't know. They won't be there, I'm afraid. There's a lot of people that go to church today. If we were taken up to heaven right now, they'd be bored stiff. They'd be bored stiff. What's all this singing 24/7? All we sing about is the praises of Jesus all the time. Nobody's talking about me. No one's patting me on the back. What's all this stuff about singing the praises and worthy is the Lamb all the time? They would be absolutely out of place. But they're happily in place in today's church because it's a church that they've made for themselves. You can only make your own church when you reject the church that God speaks about in His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we're living in very difficult ages. All the ages of eternity now are being consummated in the final lead-up to the revealing of the Antichrist. All religions are joining together. They're casting aside the truth of the Word of God, and they're joining and embracing each other so that they might embrace the Antichrist who will soon appear on the earth scene. The false prophet will join with the Antichrist and will carouse the masses of the earth in worship and praise of the Antichrist. That will only happen when hearts are prepared to receive that. A Christ after their own imagination, a Christ of their own doing, which means a rejection of the Christ of the Bible. Lord, we're seeing these things come together. The table is being set, and Your coming is near. And Lord, we have to be on our toes, and we have to be faithful to the written Word of God. We don't have poetic license. We don't have imaginative license with the Word of God. To say that forever does not mean forever, that hell does not really mean hell, and that the lake of fire does not really exist, because all men will be sooner or later relieved from hell and will go into heaven. Lord, I pray that we might understand and know the truth of the precious Word of God. There are perhaps those here tonight who are rejecting the authority of the Word of God. They really don't believe they're sinners. They're not interested in hearing that. It's evident in their lives and their attitudes and their rebellion. Have no interest in the things of God, only interest in the things of themselves. The Word of God says that if they have not repented and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they will die and go to hell, and that hell will cough up her dead, and everyone will stand at the great white throne judgment, and there be judged according to the open books. And those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire where the worm dieth not. Oh, what a horrible end. It doesn't have to be that way. God in love has prepared a way through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray for those who may be lost that they would come to Him. Come rather than reject the Word of God. Oh, Father, may Your Holy Spirit do a work in hearts and lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.